and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Trev. How are you?
All right. Enjoying the sunshine. Summer's here. We don't have spring anymore. We go winter, bang, summer. Have it.
I know, it's a bit full on, isn't it now? It's I don't want to sound like I'm complaining, but I do go all year complaining about the cold, and then the moment it turns hot, I complain about that too. So,
yeah. I mean, I vowed that I'm never going to moan about it being too cold ever again, because I enjoy the cold, I like the cold, so I can piss and moan as much as I like when it gets hot. It's too hot already, fed up with it. Bring on the snow, what I'm saying.
Speaking of pissing and moaning, we've had a little a message for you. I haven't got any audio for you, but I've just been asked to pass on a little message for you.
Oh, well, this is exciting.
I won't say it's from a fan of the show.
We haven't got any.
It's from Big Jeff, or my dad.
Oh, Big Jeff. Hello, Big Jeff.
Who I would say is probably more of a critique of the show.
Right.
He often offers us challenges that are basically saying do better. But he's asked me to pass on a little message for you, because it's been quite a big sporting week this week, isn't it?
It has. It has been a big sporting week.
So he basically wanted me to just double check with you. How many points was it Arsenal lost the league by?
I think it was 2 in the end.
I think you're right. I think it was 89 to Manchester City's 91, if I'm not very much mistaken. And he just wanted to check with you, which slightly lesser known little London club did Arsenal only manage to get 1 point from this season?
To be honest, I think it was the Aston Villa game that cost us. That's the game that I, in my head, after that game, I thought, it's done, it's over, we're not going to win it. So that was the game. I mean, if you want to score some cheap, petty football fan point, fair enough, it was Fulham.
Yes.
Where did you finish up? What, like mid-table, mediocrity? No, I'm gutted about the whole thing, but as I said, I had given it up, because last year hurt so much that this season I thought, I can't put myself through that again. So it was after the Aston Villa game, I just thought, it's gone. I'm not even going to contemplate us winning it, because it's going to hurt too much. And I'm glad I did that, because I think I probably wouldn't have recorded with you today had this have been last season, because I went into a massive sulk last year that lasted a couple of months in the end. But so, I'm now getting to the point. When Manchester City first came through, right, it was nice to see another team win it. You know, that Aguero moment. I'm now at the point, it's like, oh, fuck off, City. I'm beginning to really hate them.
So I know we're not, you know, talk sport, and we're not really known for talking about football, but Big Jeff did just want to let you know that it was little old Fulham FC who the Gunners could only get 1 point out of 180 minutes of football with. I think we beat you, didn't you? 2-1, I believe.
What? I can't remember. All I can say
I looked it up.
All I can say is I'm looking forward to seeing Fulham relegated next year, going out of business as soon as possible with their crappy little ground, not suitable for Premier League football. And
now, that'll probably upset Big Jeff, but I would like to remind you, Dad.
Is he still a season ticket holder? Is he going to get a season ticket next year?
I believe he is, but it's flipping expensive.
What, 25 quid now, I just think? Would you sit on a little milk crate to see it?
Fulham, before you start...
Don't you just stand by the river on a milk crate?
Fulham have the most expensive season tickets in the entire Premier League. It's something
how
like...
How can that be?
I'm telling you, I've checked it, Google it. It's like £3,000.
£3,000 to see that?
Yeah, I know. And you get like a seat. You don't even get a sandwich or half a pint.
Are they still paying off the Michael Jackson statue?
so, yeah, sorry, Dad, but you did start this, so you reap what you sow. And it's been another big week in sport, hasn't it, with the old undisputed title fight. I'm a big boxing fan. I know you're not, but I am.
Yeah, I mean, so. I couldn't give a shit, but I did see it was on. I mean, I was convinced Tyson Fury had retired. And then,
oh, he has.
Right, he has.
Depends what day of the week it is, mate.
And then suddenly it's like, oh, he's doing this fight. And I thought, oh, right, okay, I'll sort of pay attention to it. But then I didn't really. But I saw the result. I mean, Fury lost. Was it his first ever defeat?
It was his first ever defeat. And he seemed at first to take it quite well. I was quite impressed with his general sportsmanship. And then he kept talking.
Ah. Yes. See, boxers and talking, it's not a good thing, is it? Because I don't mean to generalise, but the intelligence of a boxer, they're not joining Mensa, are they?
No, you're not normally. But the one thing I would say in his defence is there aren't many.
Was Chris Eubank there? Did he come on and say anything at the end of the fight?
I didn't see Chris Eubank in attendance. I don't know if he was in Saudi or not. But any excuse to do the voice, eh? So what I would say in Tyson Fury's brief defence is that not many sportsmen are asked to give an interview immediately after taking multiple blows to the head. And maybe they should end this practice, because after seeming fairly sporting initially, he was, you know, quite gracious at first. Then he kept talking, and then he, not to bore you, but it was a split decision. So the judges decided who won, and he went on to say that the reason Oleksandr Usyk from the Ukraine had been given this win was due to sympathy for the war in Ukraine.
It's not Eurovision, mate. It's boxing.
Which I thought was a very unclassy thing to say. And then I got slightly more concerned when... Now, for anyone who might be listening to this, I don't know why, but in a few months' time, or maybe in a few years' time, in some sort of archive catch-up, he then went on to shout, "Happy New Year" to all the fans. It's May.
Yeah.
But here, I'm kind of done with it now. I'm almost glad.
Did you pay to see the fight?
£25.
£25. I mean, I suppose if you enjoy it, it's not that bad, is it?
Coverage started at 2:30 in the afternoon, finished around 11:30, 12:30. So you get your money's worth if you can be bothered to sit through that much boxing. I mean, I didn't sit through all that much. But it was good. But I thought, as usual, Tyson Fury, his mouth let him down again. And I'm kind of glad that I've got a few months rest before the next Fury event, because him and his father, John, they're going to go back into their little box now, because very small doses I can handle them in. I'm getting less and less tolerant. I was delighted to see Usyk win. He's a classy guy, Usyk. I'm done with the Furies for quite some time.
Yeah, we've talked about boxing before. I'm not saying there isn't classy people in boxing. You know, I've seen it. I've seen boxers interviewed after bouts when they've lost, and they're very gracious, and they even sit next to the person that's beaten them, and they sort of shake hands, and it's all very polite. But I think those big money bouts, they're just about... It's like a pantomime, isn't it? It becomes a force. I'm not saying they don't feel what they, you know, the hurt of a defeat and the joy of a victory, but I just find the whole thing a bit pantomimey now. And wasn't there some antics in the weigh-in?
Yes, Big John Fury, Tyson's dad, he decided to headbutt one of the smaller men on Usyk's corner in his team. He decided to lamp him, and I've never seen someone headbutt someone and come off worse, but John Fury headbutted him and then was dripping with blood. It was quite grisly. And I've heard one theory that the reason Tyson wasn't able to develop his game plan to fight back with Usyk very well was because he couldn't hear his corner men giving him advice over his dad screaming from the sidelines. "You use the jab, I'm a fighting man!" Yeah, just again and again. He's quite an exhausting human being. If you were stuck in a pub with him, you'd leave.
Yeah, I don't want to be anywhere near any of them, frankly. It's just, talking of being around a lot of blood, how would you deal with that? Are you good around blood?
Yes, I'm squeamish with a few things. Blood, I'm absolutely fine with.
Because I was out with a friend this week, and she had a freak accident. We were out in the pub. We're having a nice lunch in the pub garden, enjoying the sunshine. Basically, we were at a table where... just next to us was a shaded area, right? And a couple came with a pushchair with their little child in. They said, "Would you mind if we just move your table just a little bit across so we can bring the pushchair in? Not a problem." So we get up and we move the table across just a little bit and the chairs. And they were one of those sort of, you know, those folding pub chairs. They've got a very sturdy iron base, but then a wood seat and back.
Yeah.
And as she moved her chair, she got her finger caught in the chair, and she And she went, oh, and pulled the finger out. And you know when you've hurt your finger, you tend to shake your hand just to sort of get that pain out. And as she did that, blood spurted everywhere.
Oh, no.
It was like a scene. It was like a slasher movie. There was
so did she blood. Sort of Jackson Pollock you with blood?
Yeah, and it all went over her face. And it was awful. And there's that horrible moment you think, I am really ill-equipped to deal with this kind of scenario, because I was trying to remain calm on the outside, but on the inside I'm going, that's a lot of blood. There's a lot of blood just everywhere, right? So I go to the bar and I get some tissues and we wrap her finger up in tissues. What happened was she pulled her nail off.
Now you see, I said I was squeamish. I don't mind blood. You can bleed all over me. That's fine. But the loss of a fingernail, that's grim. That's not nice.
So we don't know what, we're sort of deciding what to do. She went to the bathroom. I got some ice from the bar. We packed loads of ice into some tissues so we could put that on her finger. And then it was off to A&E where they've now badged it up. But I just thought I'd never make a good paramedic. One, because the sight of blood, I am quite queasy. But secondly, it was just the inner panic I had. Obviously, on the outside, I was remaining very calm and measured. But on the inside, I was starting to think, is this an ambulance? You know when you think, what's the threshold for an ambulance call? probably not this. But there is, it seems to be a lot of blood. To my mind, there's a lot of blood here.
I mean, do you not know anything about basic first aid? Could you not have applied some pressure to the brachial artery to stem the bleeding or do something, man? Well, you'd be useless in a real crisis, wouldn't you?
Oh, I'd be absolutely useless, mate. If it's a medical emergency, I'm not the man to call. I don't really know what I'm doing. I mean, I got the thing about the ice, didn't I? That was a good thing. That put that on. And then we got back, because she had her car as well. But we get in the car, she's driving sort of one-handed, and it was all... But anyway, she got to hospital in the end. I just thought, I'm not very good around blood.
Now, you seem to be quite proud of yourself for introducing ice into this situation. She didn't cut her finger off, right?
No, but...
So what does ice help? How does ice help here?
Well, doesn't it? Ice helps sort of stop bleeding, doesn't it? Sort of,
think so.
Yeah, I think it does. I think the coldness of the ice is a good thing when there's blood. And also, don't you think it's good thinking? You're thinking, I'm in a pub. What do I have at my disposal to help in a medical emergency? It's a bar. There's going to be ice.
Well, yes. I mean, I'm not sure that's very joined up thinking, but I mean, at least you did something, I suppose. Now, were you a bit nervous that you might pass out at the sight of all this blood?
No, I didn't feel that I was going to pass out. It was just the fact that it wouldn't stop bleeding, and there just seemed to be a lot of blood. My fear was that... well, not that she was going to bleed out, because, I mean, there's a lot of blood.
Bleed out through a finger. Jesus, how bad was it?
Well, it looked like pints. Very nearly an armful.
Yeah, imagine that if you had to give the eulogy at the funeral. Sorry, she slightly cut her finger and I let her bleed to death.
Over several weeks. Now then, we've reached that part of the podcast where we find out what rabbit hole Trev's been down this week.
You are going a little bit, if you don't mind me saying, batty in your old age.
What do you mean? Well, let's first of all not use the phrase old age.
I thought you were going to say batty. You didn't want to be described as crazy.
Not a problem.
It was old age you took umbrage with.
Old age. I'm going batty in my middle age, which I think is the best time to go slightly. But I don't know why going down rabbit holes is going batty.
Well, it starts off on innocently enough, but you are teetering towards the tinfoil hat brigade at the moment, I think.
I don't subscribe to any conspiracy theories.
No, but you're starting to look into them.
Well, this isn't a conspiracy theory. This is just one of those things. I was reading about this woman who was a homeless woman in the States, in Michigan, who made home basically in the rooftop sign of a supermarket. And she stayed there for a year without anybody noticing.
So I'm assuming, just for clarity, there must have been a big sort of logo for this supermarket, a big 3D shape logo, and she was somehow inside that, was she? Or
yeah, well, I think it looks almost like an attic space with the logo at the front of sort of the attic space on top of the supermarket.
It does beg some questions, as in facilities of you know, things you'd need. I'm assuming if she could just pop down to the local supermarket within opening hours, she could use their facilities somewhat, I guess.
Yeah, but they might have that. But, you know, but also, she's not a prisoner in the supermarket. Go out, there'll be other places with facilities, wouldn't there? You know, places to do your ablutions.
Okay, well, you know, ablutions aside, what about like charging your phone? I don't know if she had a phone. She may have. Or, you know, any sort of electrical power or anything like that?
Well, interestingly enough, that was how she was finally discovered, when some contractors were about and they saw an extension cord up on the roof. And when they followed that, they then discovered this dwelling for this lady who, by the way, I don't know if she had a phone, but she had a computer and a coffee maker all set up in a cozy little nest that she'd made. Apparently, I say she was homeless. I mean, she was homeless, but she had a job. It's just not enough to cover rent somewhere. So I think she was going out to work every day, but just needed shelter. And she found this little spot.
Now, I'm 100% not casting any sort of judgment on this lady whatsoever. If I was made homeless tomorrow, I would have my phone on me. I might grab my laptop, possibly. When does she have the forethought to take the coffee machine?
Well, maybe that's a you know, you're taking the things that are most important in your life. Maybe she's not tied to her phone, Ben. Maybe, you know, unlike the youth of today.
No, hang on a minute. A phone is quite an important item. You can call people, contact people, use the internet.
She's got a computer. She's got a computer and a coffee maker. What else do you need in life? Let's face it.
No, that's fine. I just don't understand. I'm not a big coffee drinker. Maybe this is my fault. I just don't know at what point when you're leaving the house for the last time, you think, I'll just scoop up the espresso machine as I go.
If it's one of those that, you know, George Clooney advertises, they're probably not cheap. You're not going to leave that behind, are you? You think, I'm going to take that with me. And pods themselves are expensive.
I know. I was going to say, you've got to pay for the pods.
Yes. I mean, if she'd sold that, she might have been able to afford the rent. Who knows? By the way, which supermarket would you want to live in the roof of?
Oh, but it'd have to be somewhere quite posh, wouldn't it? Be like
I was going to say you'd go Waitrose, wouldn't you? I mean, I'd be happy with a Lidl, but you go, yeah, Waitrose for you.
Well, you know, they're very particular. I mean, all supermarkets are very particular on food hygiene. And by the end of the day, if something says it's, you know, a minute or two past its sell-by date and they hurl it in a bin and it's all sealed up and nice, then if I'm going to eat bin food, I'm going to eat Waitrose bin food, mate. I'm not eating fucking Lidl bin food.
I see these things now where supermarkets do these too good to go bags, but I don't know where you go. I mean, do you have to go at the end of the day? I don't know how they work.
I've done a couple of those.
Have you?
Yeah. Quite disappointing.
I was gonna say, is it Waitrose? What, you got, I don't know, Gravelax tartar?
No, it wasn't Waitrose, sadly. I probably shouldn't name the company, but it was basically a very well-known small sort of corner store place. And they had this too good to go thing, where you pay like a fiver and you turn up at a designated time, sort of like 8:30, just to make sure they haven't sold it by then.
Yeah.
And then you end up getting basically a few old pastries that have been sat in a warmer for about 14 hours. 7 packs of ham that went out of date yesterday. It's just not really worth, I mean, it's a bit of fun with the whole mystery bag, excitement, but it doesn't, in my experience, it hasn't really paid off.
I won't bother then. But anyway, the rabbit hole I ended up going down was about weird places people have ended up living. I mean, there's the famous one, I think the film The Terminal is based on it, the guy who ended up living in an airport for, I don't know, was it a year or so?
Yes, I've seen that film. It's pretty good, isn't it? It's Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks, isn't it? Yeah, it's a good film. I think it's certainly based on true life events. I don't think I could cope with living in a terminal of an airport. Too many people, too much noise. I think that would drive me insane. But again, if needs must, But at least you've got everything on hand that you're going to need, aren't you? Haven't you, in an airport? You've got toilets, showers, places to wash. You've got shops aplenty. All duty-free, presumably.
No, because I believe to access duty-free, you need a boarding pass.
You need a ticket, you do. That's right, because they always ask for it, don't they? They always say that. Your boarding pass, huh? I'm only buying a bottle of Fanta, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, I think it would be quite a anxious place to live with everybody rushing around and constant announcements. I'm not sure I'd like that very much.
There was a guy recently who in Germany, basically because it turns out it's cheaper, lived on a train. He spends £8,500 a year to live on a train. So he just travels around. He does his work on the train. He can get sleeper carriages when he wants them, and he just travels up and down the country on a train rather than spending money on rent. You know, £8,500 a year, imagine having that outlay.
Is it legal?
I don't think there's a problem with it, is it? You're paying your fare.
Well, I suppose so. Yeah,
wouldn't be wrong, you know, as long as you're paying your fare, as long as you know the company ain't gonna mind, are they?
So is he eating elsewhere, washing elsewhere? Because I'm pretty sure trains, they'll have a toilet on board, but probably not a bathroom.
He takes showers in public swimming pools and leisure centres. He's got his unlimited annual rail card, so that all helps. He has breakfast in the lounger on the train.
Okay. Well, it sounds like quite a nifty idea, I suppose. A bit thrifty, but... quite inconvenient if you ever needed to be somewhere else.
And also, can you imagine doing it in this country? The trains are always up the fucking shitter anyway. You spend most of your time waiting on a platform for a train that's not coming. I think in Germany, the trains are far more efficient.
I think everything is more efficient in Germany. So, yeah, you're right. In this country, it would be an absolute mess. I remember I heard one of my... you know, I'm quite big on my true crime podcasts. I don't know if I've mentioned it before. But I listened to one of those recently. I think his name was Jeffrey Manchester, and he was a serial armed robber.
That's a made-up name.
I thought it sounded like quite a porn name, if you don't mind me saying.
A porn name?
Yeah. It's, you know, I thought a male porn star by the name of Jeffrey Manchester.
Big Jeff Manchester.
So, yeah, basically this guy, he was a serial armed robber, went to prison. Then he managed to break out of prison, went on the run again. And he basically lived within a small makeshift crawl space inside a Toys R Us.
Wow.
He would manipulate...
Can I just say, if he was in Toys R Us, we all know there are millions of Jeffreys all under one roof.
Hey! Very good. He would live in this sort of crawl space. I think it was a closed down building connected to the Toys R Us. It was some previous store that had closed down. And he was a fucking genius. He would come out at night when the store was all locked up.
Yeah.
And he'd play with the toys. He'd ride bikes around the store. He'd eat baby food to keep himself fed because he was on the run from the law. Now you're thinking, why didn't Toys R Us pick him up on the CCTV system?
Yeah.
Well, because he took over the CCTV system and deleted all the footage at the appropriate times when he was having a little party and eating his baby food. And he would even go as far as to manipulate the staff rota so that he could control what they were doing and when to make his life more easy. And one other genius thing he did was he stole off the shelves one of the baby monitors he could basically... Yeah. Overhear the security staff and when they were coming and what they were doing, and he was basically spying on them, always one step ahead. He stole thousands of pounds worth of, or thousands of dollars worth of toys from this store and would give them away to the local children. He was like Robin Hood, this guy.
Yeah.
It was amazing. I think he's now captured and is serving multiple decades of time in prison, but you know, he had fun while it lasted.
Yeah, I mean, you shouldn't, you know, praise a criminal like that, but that is clever.
Yes, but the reason he was arrested in the first place was because he was, like I say, an armed robber, a sort of serial armed robber. He used to do McDonald's quite a lot. But the police were quite complimentary as to how efficient he was. McDonald's even seemed fairly pleased that he kept hitting them, because they said, oh, he must be loyal to the brand. What? And apparently he was very courteous to the staff when he would come. He was known as the roof man. Would come in through the roof. And he would then direct the staff to go and stand into the walk-in fridge freezer thing whilst he robbed the place. And the first thing he'd do when he leaves was he'd call the police and say, I've just robbed McDonald's, go and let the staff out of the fridge. So he was a bit of a sort of gentleman thief, really. There was one occasion went slightly awry when someone tried to be a bit brave and sort of foil his attempt and hit him on the head with the bucket. So that person got pistol whipped for hitting him on the head with the bucket. But other than that, he was a bit of a gentleman thief.
Wow, that's extraordinary. That's up there with, well, basically a man in Japan was flummoxed because food was going missing from his kitchen.
Sorry, can I just say, a man in Japan was flummoxed? Sounds like the start of
a limerick.
A limerick.
Good luck rhyming flummoxed.
Sorry, carry on. A man in Japan was flummoxed.
When food was disappearing from his kitchen. So he's saying, what's going on? So he rigged up a surveillance camera and eventually discovered that there was a woman living in his house, essentially. So when he was out, the woman would appear, eat food, take showers, and the woman was living in a little crawl space above the man's walk-in wardrobe.
God, the moment you reviewed that footage and you saw her for the first time in your house, that would put the shivers up you, wouldn't it?
I know. She was there a long time as well. She was there a good few months. She'd first snuck in months before when the owner had left the place unlocked. And she'd been doing this for months on end. You've sort of got to recognise the ability to stay quiet for such long periods of time.
I mean, I know this is clearly a crime, what she's done, but was she just harmless? She was just using it for living?
She found herself homeless, just was looking for a bit of shelter, saw an opportunity to get into a house, found a little crawl space, thought, well, here we go, I can stay. It's a bit like the film Parasite, this, isn't it? Have you seen the film Parasite?
Yeah, it's a great film.
It's basically that, isn't it? And would go and use all the facilities and eat the food when the man was out of work.
Wow. It's a very strange world we live in, isn't it, where people do go to that level of effort, really.
There was another one where a woman heard noises coming from her attic and began to wonder what the heck was going on. And sometimes nails would fall from the ceiling. So she had a feeling that something wasn't right in the attic. And her sons then investigated, and they discovered that the woman's ex-boyfriend was living in the attic.
Now, I very much love my mum, but if she said to me, Ben, I'm hearing mysterious noises from the loft.
Yeah.
Nails are falling from the ceiling. I'm hearing some strange noises. You need to go up there and have a look.
You'd go, yeah, of course, mother. Of course I will.
I'd say, sorry, love, you're on your own. You've got two choices. You can phone the police, you know, real men, to come and help, or you can burn the house down. Either way, I'm not going up there.
And the Son of the Year award goes to... Now, Ben, I received a request this week.
Oh, yeah.
From Barry. Now, Barry used to listen to us when we were on the radio.
Ooh. He's rare.
I know. And he's been listening to our podcast for some time. But he says what he used to enjoy on our radio show was we used to do a thing every day called the Early Pub Quiz.
Yeah, but it was still a sore subject for me, this.
Well,
I was robbed.
Well, you never got your full house on the Early Pub Quiz.
I was on course for a perfect score for the whole week. Monday through Thursday, every single question right. Thursday afternoon, sacked. The bastards never let me got my perfect score.
And I think I managed 3 perfect scores in the time we did the early pub quiz. So I know it's a really sore point for you.
Right? This is payback for the Arsenal remarks, isn't it? You're rubbing salt into this wound.
I arranged for us to be fired that third day. I thought, there's no way you are getting a full house. I went into the office, I called the management every name under the sun. If only that was how we'd been fired. So anyway, Barry said, could you do a pub quiz? And we have done pub quizzes before on the podcast. We did them a bit during lockdown. We do the odd quiz here and there. But Barry has sent us a quiz and said, could we, for 1 week only, revive the early pub quiz?
Now, can I ask, Trev, do we still have the early pub quiz jingle, or is that owned copyright by our previous employers?
I don't have it to hand.
Damn.
I think it's more the fact we couldn't use the music. We don't have the rights to use the music on the podcast.
This is tragic.
If it was because the radio owned it, fuck it, I wouldn't care. But the fact that we can't use it because of the music would be a problem. So
fair enough.
We haven't got the jingle. We can't play that in. But Barry sent us a pub quiz, 10 questions. Shall we give it a go?
I think so, yes, because I might have a chance of winning if you're on my side for a change.
Okay, here we go. Question number one. Play along, wherever you're listening, by the way, play along, see how you get on. Okay, here we go. Question number one. The Blue Meanies were the enemy of the Beatles in which film?
Now, I don't know. The only thing I know about the Blue Meanie was there was a wrestler in the WWF, the Blue Meanie.
Okay.
Which is, I realise, of no help to answering this question.
Thanks for that. Now we're beginning to understand how you never got a full house.
So, you're a man of a certain generation.
Basically, all of your information comes from wrestling on The Simpsons.
You're a man of a certain generation, Triff, so you might know what the
answer... Well, fuck off with the Beatles, mate. They split up in 1969, 8 years before I was born.
So go on then, smartass, what's the answer?
I don't actually know the answer. My guess would be Yellow Submarine because of the colour thing going on.
What about A Hard Day's Night? Was that a film?
That was a film. That was A Hard Day's Night. It was a film by the Beatles. But I think it's a 50-50 here.
Yes, what's happened here is we've both named a film and have no more information than that.
Yeah. I just feel the colour element...
Which is a different colour. I'll just point out it's a different colour.
Yeah,
but fine.
But you have the Beatles and the Yellow Submarine, they're sort of the goodies, and then the enemy, the Blue Meanies.
Oh, I see. So it's a bit like the Milky Way advert, the blue car and the red car had a race, the Yellow Submarine versus the Blue Meanie.
I don't know, but it could be.
Because there is the smallest jot of logic to that, I'll bow down and we'll go with your answer, Yellow Submarine.
Okay, Yellow Submarine we're going for. The answer is... The Yellow Submarine.
Good man.
Right.
Good man. I was right to listen to you, after all, for a change.
Number two. Who composed the songs Putting on the Ritz, I've Got My Love to Keep Me Warm, and White Christmas?
I've only heard of White Christmas.
Okay. Putting on the Ritz? You've not heard of that?
Not a clue.
I think it was Fred Astaire who sang Putting on the Ritz.
Again, you're a man of a certain generation. I will bow down to your knowledge. I have no idea.
White Christmas, sung by Bing Crosby, famously, of course.
Shit.
I don't know I've Got My Love to Keep Me Warm, but that's probably one of those sort of crooner-type songs, isn't it? You can imagine, oh, I've got my love to keep me warm. One of those croonery.
Are we going Fred Astaire?
No, because they perform them. But I...
Oh, good God.
There's two names that have come to mind. Again, I think it's going to be a 50-50 here, although I'm more confident about one of them. There's Cole Porter, who wrote a lot of songs around that era, or Irving Berlin. I feel it's Irving Berlin.
Okay, we'll go Irving Berlin then.
Okay, the answer is... Irving Berlin! Come
well
on!
Well done, that is impressive.
Which large animal is the only creature thought to produce its own suntan lotion from its natural secretions?
Oh.
Now, the fact that it says large animal, I mean, you immediately go elephant, don't you? But does an elephant...
I
was
don't.
It a rhino?
I have... Oh, God. I don't know about secretions and things like that, but...
I don't know about secretions. What a lie.
I have definitely... definitely heard something about pigs are the only animal that require suntan lotion.
Hang on, mate. It says large animal.
A pig is a large animal.
Well, I think when you're talking, when it uses the phrase large animal, it's
you know it's one in the front room, wouldn't you?
It's large compared to a mouse, I'll give you that. But when the natural world uses the phrase large animal, you've got to think bigger than a pig.
Pigs can get pretty big.
All right.
All right, I'll tell you what. No, fine, I'll tell you now. If the answer's pig, I want a written apology.
A written apology?
A written apology.
Can I do it via email or do you want it posted?
I think you should tweet it, to be honest.
I'll tweet the apology.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm going along with that because the answer's
No. What we're going to do is, to prove my point, we're going to let you pick the answer with your large animal. And if it's pig, I want a written apology.
All right. Well,
because I heard something about pigs and suntan lotion in the past somewhere.
Yeah, but do they create it from their own secretions?
I told you I didn't know about secretions at the beginning.
No, you're very clear about you don't know anything about secretions. But I...
This is why we got sacked, Trev, is because we spend too much time bickering and not enough time getting on with the fucking quiz.
Yeah, play the fucking advert. They will pay your wages. Anyway.
What wages?
Look, I don't know if I can comfortably go with pig. I've got to go... I don't know. I don't think it's elephant. It might be rhino.
Okay. I've washed my hands of this question. I've made that clear. So
if you want to go rhino, it's on your hand.
go rhino if you want to.
Oh, it's not rhino.
If it's pig,
no, it's a hippo. Hippo. Oh.
So what am I thinking of? Have you heard something about pigs and suntan lotion?
Well, no. Well, I've heard this thing about pigs
get sunburn or something.
But I've also heard that there might be a myth. I think.
Right. Well, I must
while
have
I'm reading the next question, I might also be looking up whether pigs can get sunburn.
I must have missed the memo where that was all a big practical joke, and now that has ruined our good start to this quiz. Now.
Okay. Right. What question are we up to? Number four.
I think that was number three, and it's taking forever.
Okay. Which Russian punk band were jailed for 2 years in August 2012 for their anti-Putin protest and inciting hooliganism in an Orthodox church?
I mean, I could try and think of a funny answer, but I do actually know the answer is Pussy Riot.
It's Pussy. I knew it was something Riot, but yeah. I couldn't remember the first one. But I think that's right. You are bang on, sir. Well done.
Thank you.
Okay, we're back on track. Question number five. Where in London is there a bronze statue of Charlie Chaplin?
Now, I don't know, but it would make sense that it's outside some sort of theatre, right?
Yeah. Now, again, I've got two thoughts on this, because he was born in Kennington.
Okay.
But I think there's a plaque near to where he was born. The house he was born in doesn't exist anymore. There is a Charlie Chaplin museum there, which is, bizarrely enough, I don't know... I think the Charlie Chaplin Museum in Kennington is in the grounds of the workhouse where him and his mother and brother were sent. I always find that a little bit sort of inappropriate in a way.
Yes.
I don't know if there's a statue there. I'm thinking, you're right in terms of like an entertainment area. I'm thinking, though, it might be Leicester Square.
Right. So... I mean, I've been to the Leicester Square Theatre with you.
Yes.
And I didn't see it if it was there. I'm not the most observant of people, but I didn't see it there.
It might be in the middle, though. You know, there's that little green area in the middle of the square. And I'm sure there's a few statues. There's a Mr. Bean statue there.
There's a Mr. Bean statue in Leicester Square?
I think there's a Mr. Bean statue in Leicester Square.
That's quite a coup for... I mean, I know he's a comedy legend, but to be statued before you... passed on. That's quite a thing.
I know. So I'm tempted to say Leicester Square, but if you've got any other thoughts...
No, my only thought was... The only thing... If you hadn't had any other ideas, I'd have said, where is the nearest theatre to Kennington? But we'll go with your guess of Leicester Square.
Okay. Leicester Square is the answer.
Well done.
By the way...
I have to admit, in fairness, you are carrying me through this quiz now.
By the way, just so we can clear everything, I don't like to leave things unsaid on the podcast.
Go on. I was just praising you not 5 seconds ago, and you've got to go back to winding me up about the pigs now, aren't you?
No, I'm just going to say, I've just literally put into, I mean, my history sometimes. Can pigs get sunburned? Pigs that are unaccustomed to direct sunlight may be sunburned if not exposed gradually to their outdoor environment.
Well, then it sounds like they need to start secreting suntan lotion, doesn't it?
Yeah. Mm. Get some lessons from hippos, pigs. Come on. Evolve properly.
So other than this disaster, how are we doing? Because it feels like we're doing pretty well.
We've got 4 out of 5.
Right, so it really is just Piggate that's ruined this.
Okay, here's another question. What is the name of the actress who played Hilda Ogden in Coronation Street?
I think I know this. Of course you do, because you're a man of a certain generation, and this is well before my time.
Basically, any question that is before your time, you think I'm going to know, because...
Well, you just said you do know.
Well, I think I do know, but... Not so because of my age.
Hilda
Ogden. It's just because
Ogden.
I'm a very dull man. I think it's Jean Alexander.
Jean Alexander, okay.
Oh, I don't know, is it? Yeah, no, I'm going to say Jean Alexander. Are you happy with that?
Well, since you've been doing a little bit of Googling on the sly, I'm just going to have a quick... Sorry, what? Jean Alexander?
Yeah, yeah.
Born in 1926. Of course I don't know who the fuck that is.
She was also in Last of Summer Wine. She played Auntie, whatever her name was, who ran the antique shop. Anyway, I'm like a walking IMDb at times.
You're like the Giles Brandreth of this podcast.
I didn't kill Rod Hull.
That's becoming an ongoing joke on this now, isn't it?
Jean Alexander is the answer.
Well played.
Next question. Who is reported to have played his fiddle while Rome burned? And if you say you're a man of a certain age.
Oh, God, I'm going to be laughed at.
Oh, come on, you must know this.
No, because I think I've heard this today. I think I've actually heard this information today and already forgotten it. and the reason... I'm hesitant to say anything is because I get laughed at a lot for getting things confused. And I know that Nero did something to do with something burning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I'm not sure that's the answer.
No, it is the answer. It's got a bit Nero.
Emperor
famously.
Nero?
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to go with that. Nero is the answer. Well done.
Oh, thank God for that.
Okay, question number 8. What is the surname of the inventor of the world's first motorcycle?
I mean, I couldn't even venture a guess because I'm not even sure what country this person would have come from.
I genuinely have no idea on this. There's Norton Motorcycles, but there's the Triumphs, isn't there? But there's not going to be anyone called Triumph, is there?
It's not going to be something like, because it seems like quite an obscure question. I wonder if it's going to be a slightly trick answer, like it's... I don't know, like Enzo Ferrari or something, because actually he made motorbikes before he started going into cars. Something weird like that.
It could be. I mean, I don't think it's going to be Ferrari because it's too late, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's too modern. I mean, I don't know. We've just got to come up with a name here, mate. I don't know the answer.
I think I'm going to have to pass on this one. I'll leave it up to you. If you want to scramble a name together, you can do.
Is that a motorbike pun?
What did I say? What?
Well, motorcycle, they have the scrambles, don't they?
Did I accidentally do a joke? I had no idea.
You accidentally did a motorcycling joke.
Sorry about that. I wish I'd known.
I don't know. I'm going to say Norton. I know it's not right, but it's all I've got.
Excellent. I'm still pleased with that accidental joke. That's great. Okay, carry on.
Oh, wow, the answer's Daimler. I mean, you were right about someone who went on to make cars. The Daimler, that German, I think. Is the Daimler German, I think?
See, I knew I was onto something. But.
Yeah, okay. All right.
All right.
Question number 9. Which song from... This is more up your street. Which song from Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat gave Jason Donovan a number 1 UK hit in 1991?
I'm assuming that'll be Any Dream Will Do.
It's got to be in there. That was number 1 for ages. Of course it is. Any Dream Will Do.
Excellent.
Final question. Which TV show from the 70s and 80s featured Michael Langdon as Charles Ingalls living on a farm with his wife and 4 daughters?
Are you going to start getting angry if I say you're a man of a certain generation again?
I don't know. I do know this. I used to watch it on a Sunday morning. It used to be on Channel 4, I think.
When you're out playing with your hoop and stick.
I was waiting for Daimler to invent a motorcycle.
What's
waiting
the answer?
For Nero to stop fucking fiddling. And when I say stop fiddling, I mean...
Yeah, I know what you meant.
Yeah.
As if we're going to be sued by the estate of Emperor Nero.
We don't know with the Roman Emperor. You know, that's probably where the Mafia comes from. It's probably members of the Mafia that were ancestors of Nero, mate. Yeah, we're going to get you.
You don't disrespect Nero.
So what's the answer? Come
Robert
on, let's put
De Niro.
This, put this out of its misery quickly.
It's it's Little House on the Prairie is the, definitely the answer to it.
Lovely.
Okay. It's Little House on the Prairie. So I think that's the 10, and we got, what did we get? 8 out of the 10. I think that's not bad going.
That's very respectable. I feel a little redundant. I think I only helped with Pussy Riot, and that was about it. But, you know, I'm still here.
Yeah, we'll take it. Thanks, Barry.
Cheers, Barry.
Well, there we are. That's it for another Trev and Ben podcast. Before we go, as always, some recommendations for you. What you got for us, Ben?
Well, I thought, seeing as I mentioned it earlier on, anyone who wants to learn more about Jeffrey Manchester, the roof man.
Oh, yeah. Toys R Us man.
Yes. You can go to a podcast which I've recommended before. It's called The Casual Criminalist, presented by Simon Whistler. And if you just look for the episode called Roof Man, you can learn the full story. And it is a really, really fascinating listen. I would highly recommend that. And the other one, I recently recommended to you Diary of a CEO with Stephen Bartlett, with his interview with Jimmy Carr.
Yes, which I listened to. I have never got to the end of it, but I listened to a large chunk of it.
Good. Well, it's not as recent, so it's probably quite an old one now, but I've heard him interview today Rainn Wilson, who played Dwight Schrute in the US Office. And that guy has had a very interesting life. It's definitely worth a listen. And I mean, if you're a Rainn Wilson fan, it's an open goal. This one, you can't really go wrong.
I saw a thing. I was going through the videos. What they call it? Is it Reels on Facebook? I mean, I'm not the TikTok generation.
No, you're a man of a certain generation.
Yeah, I'm still on Facebook, right? And I go through the Reels on that. And I was drawn in by a short video with Rainn Wilson, supposedly a behind the scenes little bit of footage, I think from the film Juno, so quite a few years ago. And it's him having a massive row with the director. And I watched it 2 or 3 times, and then slowly it dawned on me, because I'm a man of a certain age, I have to think things through. It slowly dawned on me that this was clearly a setup piece. But the first bit, you're thinking, oh, this is another side of Rainn Wilson, where he's getting angry and the director's getting angry. But the more you see, it's very staged, but very funny nonetheless.
No, he's a very interesting man. He's had his own issues and his own problems, and he's very upfront about it all. And I thought it was a really good listen.
Okay, all right. Well, I've got two things to recommend. First of all, an hour-long documentary that was on Channel 5 this week, so it'll be available on My5. It's My5. It's
called, I'm always surprised Channel 5's still going.
It's called D-Day, the Unseen Footage. We're coming up to the 80th anniversary of D-Day, of course, on the 6th of June. I'm sure you've got that in your diary, Ben.
Of course.
That big day. So there's lots of programming around that at the moment, and this featured never before seen footage of the 3-month campaign to liberate France. I just found it fascinating. It's so sobering, isn't it, when you see footage of soldiers, yeah, from both sides, and just the horrors of the violence that took place in those battles, and the kind of necessary evils that had to take place, but they're still hard to stomach. But I love that sort of documentary. So if you like your history stuff, particularly Second World War stuff, that's well worth a watch.
I'm not criticizing. I'm sure it's a great documentary, but it does sound a touch bleak, and I think you've been doing this for weeks on end now. Can you try and cheer our audience up? That is kind of the point of this.
Okay, well, the other thing I'm going to recommend is a film I watched starring Tom Hanks, who we've already mentioned earlier in the podcast. The film's called A Man Called Otto, and it does start a little bit bleak. It's the story of a devastated and lonely widower who wants to take his life. But his life is sort of transformed when it's disrupted by a new family that move in. It's based, I think, on a book, and then I think it was a Swedish film originally. This is the American remake. It's actually very funny, even though there's a darkness to it. But it's Tom Hanks. I mean, Tom Hanks is just... Is there any film Tom Hanks... I mean, he must have some duds in his catalogue, but I can't think of any.
Well, I can't think of any either, but I did just ask you to try and keep the mood a bit light, and you got for Suicidal Widower. I mean, yeah. Jesus, man.
It's a really good film, but you do have to... What I will say is it's not all joyful.
Really? Because I could never have guessed from the description.
So there we are. That's it for this week. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us anytime about anything. We're at Trevor Bell on X. And we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye.